Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, and to understand the meaning of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Sabbath, Passover, and holy days of God, and what they mean and how that fits into all of the prophecies coming down at the end time. How it fit into events in the past. This is why we are to understand the things in the Old Testament, because the physical comes first, then the spiritual. We are to understand the events that happened to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, because Paul says these are examples, and the Greek there is translated types. So we have the physical type, then we have the spiritual. Now the children of Israel were making their way out of the land of Egypt. And God did something for a purpose, because God does everything for a purpose. But here the children of Israel, as they are happy, they're really celebrating, they're glad that they've gotten out of Egypt and that they have been able to escape Pharaoh, escape all of the slave work that they were doing and the stomping in mud and straw to make bricks so that the Egyptians could make their cities and houses and all of those things. Now they left with lots of gold and lots of silver and lots of clothing. They left with all their children, all their livestock. And here was a group of about 1,600,000 people. Now this was a huge group. And the Exodus was the greatest thing to hit the Middle East, if we could put it that way, at that time, and there has never been the like since. A whole nation moved, taken out of one nation, and going as they were led by their God, who fought for them, who destroyed Egypt, who killed the firstborn, who redeemed their firstborn, spared all the children of Israel, and now Moses was leading them out. But like everything else that God does, once he does something for us to bless us, then he wants to know, how are we going to handle this blessing? And so likewise, God did not want to take the children of Israel the easy way, that is, the way that seemed least resistant, the way of the Philistines. Why, that would have been about a 10-day journey maximum to get to the promised land. But God had separated out his people, the children of Israel, according to the promise that he gave to Abraham. And now he was going to establish them as his people. And in order to do that, they had to learn to trust God in faith. God was the only one who could do what was done. So he wanted to know what was in their hearts. So instead of taking the path going this way toward the Holy Land, they took a turn to go south. And when they took that turn, they were right close to the top of what you have in the Red Sea, where, and we don't know the exact geographical location as it was then compared to what it is today. And he said this, told Moses, now you go camp over between Pi-Hahiroth and Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Now, Baal Zephon was a ridge of mountains just short distance from the edge of the Red Sea. So here comes the column of the children of Israel down along the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's scouts were watching where they were going, and God did this deliberately. God put them there in a situation that was absolutely, physically inescapable. Now, I had two reasons for that. Number one, to finish off Pharaoh and his armies. Number two, to test the children of Israel, whether they really believed him or not. So he said here, verse 3, Exodus 14, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are trapped in the land, the wilderness has shut them in." And then God said, "Well, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow them, and I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. So then the scout went back and told the king of Egypt. People had fled. Now they were stuck. The heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" You know, if you have no modern appliances, you had a lot of slaves to do a lot of things that we have modern appliances do for us today. So think of it this way. What if you were suddenly without electricity, all your appliances were worthless, everything that you had was brought to you by a slave or servant, and now you don't have them? Let's bring them back. Verse 6, "And he, Pharaoh, made his chariot ready and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand." So here comes the drama. Here comes the battle. Now, we know that they're going to cross the Red Sea, but I want you to understand how this is depicted in the movie by Cecil B. DeMille as a very narrow channel where they walk through as a column is not correct, because the column was camped in column form right along the coast of the Red Sea. 1,600,000 people. So that was strung out a good 5 to 7 miles, maybe even more. So let's see what happened. Verse 10, "When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." They said to Moses. Now you see, here's the thing. You really never know the depth of your conviction or the degree of the character that you have until you are tested. Look at the children of Israel. Right away, they started complaining, accusing God, accusing Moses. It is just like a lot of people. Oh, they want to know about Jesus. Oh, they want to know about how they can make their life right. Oh, they want God to be in their lives. But when the going gets tough, hey, I'm out of here. Well, God put them in such a position that the children of Israel couldn't get away. So let's see what happens. "They said to Moses, 'Why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness because there were no graves in Egypt? Why have you dealt this way with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this word in Egypt, saying, let us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.'" Now, that is not what they said. They were in servitude to the Egyptians, and they were moaning, and they were groaning, and the cry finally came up to God. And God sent Moses and Aaron to bring them out. And after all of the plagues and all of the miracles and all of the fantastic things that God executed against the Egyptians to free them, they were happy to leave. it says right up here, just in verse 8, they went out with a high hand. Oh, they were happy. They were enthusiastic. Oh, this was a great, great day. Well, notice what Moses told the people. Moses had some belief in God. Moses had talked to the Lord. Moses had been the hand that was used to bring a lot of these plagues against the Egyptians. So he believed the Lord. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not." Now, there's a good lesson for all of us today. Do not be afraid of the circumstances. If God is for you, who can be against you? Stand still. Don't run off and try and get away, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall be still. Now that's a great lesson for all of us, even those of us living today, isn't it? Yes. Don't accuse God when things go wrong. Something happens, people always say, "Well, why did God do that? Or why did God allow this? Or why couldn't have God spared that? Or why did these people die?" Well, the truth is, through the plan of God as revealed by his Passover and Holy Days, all of those questions are answered. Now notice, verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, you shall be still." You want God to fight for you? You want God to handle your battles? Remember, the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." So the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Don't go back into Egypt. Don't go backward into this world." That's a spiritual lesson that we're going to learn when we get to the New Testament. Now, this that we just read to you happened on the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now then, sundown was coming. He told Moses, "And you, lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea, and divide it in. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I am about to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get honor for myself upon Pharaoh, and over all his army, and over his chariots, and over his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I will be glorified through Pharaoh, his chariots, and horsemen." Then God intervened. You ever had God intervene in your life? Has God spared you from something that you knew an angel of God had to do that? Well, God began right then, at that moment, to show the difference between the children of Israel that God was going to save and the Egyptians that he was going to destroy. Verse 19, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved. And he went to the rear of them, and a pillar of cloud went from in front of them, and it stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel." So God sent this cloud now to be a wall between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. So here's what happened. Verse 20. "It was a cloud of darkness to one," that is the Egyptians, "but to give light by night to the other, so that the two did not come near one another all night." So you see, that happened right about sundown. Moses went out, raised up his rod over the Red Sea. The pillar of cloud came and became a wall between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the children of Israel, and was there all night. There was light for the children of Israel. So this became a tremendous thing. This moving of the Red Sea back had to be a whole at least 10 miles. It was a great miracle that God did. So let's see what happened here. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a strong wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, in order for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea, they didn't go in a column file. The column did a wide flanking movement across the Red Sea to the other shore so all the children of Israel could get across. Now let's see what happened here. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the middle of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen, and in the morning watch, just right about sunrise, it came to pass that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and the army of the Egyptians were thrown into confusion. Well, this was quite a thing. Question. Does God know how to handle situations that are beyond your ability to take care of? Yes, he does. Will he do it? Now, this was a matter of life and death. So God put them into confusion. What a great way to handle the enemy. Could any human being do that of his or herself? No. God had the power to do it, and he did it. Furthermore, he loosened their chariot wheels and made them go heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." Here are all the Israelites on the west side of the Red Sea. And they were viewing all of this, watching what was going to happen. Can you imagine how they felt when they started walking down into where the Red Sea had been? And it was dry. It was dry ground, like walking on pavement. And they could get everything across very quickly because they had to get to the other side. Verse 27, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when morning appeared. And the Egyptians tried to flee from it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the middle of the sea. Now, we also have some very interesting things that are going to happen at the end of the age when Jesus Christ returns. And he is likewise going to supernaturally destroy the armies of the beast and the false prophet and the civilizations of this world that are fighting against the return of Christ. Just as this was a tremendous situation here. A great thing in history that happened. And there are a lot of historical witnesses now that are being found to record the things that happened in Egypt that weren't known years ago, which verify exactly what happened. Let's continue on. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the armies of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there did not remain so much as one of them. Now the children of Israel had a little more spoil they could pick up. Okay? Verse 30, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord had done upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So they had a great celebration. They said, God is a man of war. God is our hero. God is the one who has led us. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is great. The Lord is over us. And so that's what occurred on the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The very first Feast of Unleavened Bread that God gave to the children of Israel. And he gave it to them to distinguish them from the Egyptians, to show that they were his people, to show that he was their God, to show that he would fight their battles for them, and regardless of their circumstances, God would take care of them. Now, how long do you suppose that that lasted with the children of Israel? This is why miracles cannot produce in the people that see them eternal salvation. In 3 days, they forgot all about it. Let's read what happened. Verse 22, Exodus 15. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Again, another test. Can God take care of us? Well, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So Moses cried to the Lord and said, Lord, what am I going to do? These people are after me again. Now, when you read all of the book of Exodus, you find out this. When the people sinned, they were Moses' people. When the people did well, they were God's people. So what happened? God answered the prayer. Moses cried to him, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he said, you cast the tree into the waters, and the waters will be made sweet. So he did. There he made a decree and a law for them, and there he proved them. See? In the New Testament, we're told the proving or trying of your faith is to perfect your character. And to give you faith and understanding. That's what it was also here for them. Now notice what he said. And here becomes a theme of how God dealt with the children of Israel. Verse 26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will keep his commandments and keep all his laws, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. So the question is, here's a lesson for us today. When trouble comes, are we going to accuse God? When trouble comes, are we going to leave God? When trouble comes, are we going to believe God? When trouble comes, are we going to be faithful? When trouble comes, are we going to continue to trust God? When another trial comes up like this did with the water at Marah, what are you going to do when a trial like that comes to you? See, this is why we have church at home. Because you're not going to get these kinds of instructions, even if you go to a Sunday keeping church. If you keep up on Sunday keeping churches, after a while, every sermon is the same. That's why church at home. Because the Bible has many things, many lessons, many ways that we are taught in how to be in contact with God. So on this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they went through the Red Sea. Then 3 days later, God gave them sweet water, making the bitter water sweet, and so God was with them all the way. So, once again, be sure and get the book that we have, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, I want to mention something else. If you do not have the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order, we have a place right online here with Church at Home where you can get one. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure to go to our other website, cbcg.org. We have many sermons and many other things you can use there. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.